And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew, goes from, like, Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa on over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains, Auburn, and stretching across the border to Fort Benning. Yes, it's called Fort Benning, Georgia. And I mean, even big old patches of northwest Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, too, just for good measure. All right, you guys, it's that time of the week. It is Thursday, which now is, by the way, branded as Thankful Thursday. So we are thankful that it is Thursday, which is the day before Friday, and we're also thankful for two people who are about to come on. Let me call the roll for our segment of Butters and Lee. Butterman, are you there?
I am here, and I am extremely thankful for today.
Outstanding. Well, I'm thankful for you, my friend. All right, and then I turn to Huntsville, coming in with her amazing contributions, the diva of punditry, Lee from Huntsville. Are you there?
I'm here.
You are indeed. All right, quorum, hit it. Whoop whoops. All right, you guys. I ping you with questions, then you ping me with questions. Here's my first question. So you've probably been tracking this Palestinian activist kid. He's a student at Columbia University, Mahmoud Khalil. He's a Palestinian who I think was actually born in Syria as a refugee, wound up going to college in Beirut. Now he's at Columbia. Anyway, he was arrested because he was one of the major driving forces in organizing all the on-campus protests and calling for intifada and damaging buildings and doing all the things. And as we speak right now, there are riots and major protests, to include a big one at Trump Tower in New York City, calling for him to be set free, claiming the whole thing about him being arrested and potentially deported is a free speech issue. So what are your thoughts on this? Ladies first. Lee, what do you think?
I think that becoming an American citizen is not anyone's right. It is it's something that's given by the American government on behalf of the American people welcoming someone in. But it's never something that you deserve or demand. And I think that this young man, being married to an American citizen or not, his association and support, I guess I would say more support, of Hamas is an absolute non-starter. We do not need someone supporting terrorist organizations in our country. We have enough of that already. And he is, by working with these student groups, kind of being their spokesperson, being one of the main supporters of this illegal activity on behalf of, with so many of them supporting Hamas, handing out pamphlets, while he's there with this Hamas support, he's signed his own expulsion warrant. Sorry. Yeah. I don't feel bad about him at all. I think he should go, and if his wife doesn't like it, she can go with him.
Okay. That's fair. Before I say anything further, I'll turn to the other side here and say, Butters, what do you think about it? Is it a free speech issue?
Well, so first, I think this would be a good 3-hour dialogue to actually unpack all the issues, but we don't have that. So, number one, if you break the law, you break the law.
Yeah.
So let's just stick to the free speech concept. And I would lean on what kind of occurs to me. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights.
Okay.
And I firmly believe that the right to free speech is not something given by any government. So, it's the tough part. It's the tough side of actually believing in free speech. Again, if you break the law, you break the law. That needs to be unpacked. But, in terms of the student visas and all that kind of stuff, why do we have institutions, and why is we as citizens, why are we supporting institutions that would allow, because in order to get a student visa, you've got to be in a school. Is this really even a thing for the government to regulate? Why can't the people say, yeah, you're not allowed here? So,
I think your point is well taken. I think, the thing that needs to be addressed here is the left wants this to be a free speech claim, But the right is saying that's not even the issue. We never said he can't talk. We said he can't try to create issues of national security. So that's where this thing is differing. Because the Immigration Nationality Act, I think it's Section 212, it has the different activities that a person can be deemed ineligible to maintain their visa on, one of which is supporting terrorism or creating issues of national security. So that's the thing. It was not that he said, I disagree with the U.S. government, because you're allowed to do that. By the way, there are curtails upon freedom of speech for foreigners. They are allowed speech rights under the First Amendment, but they're not allowed unfettered speech rights, the same as anybody else. You can't go yell fire in a crowded movie theater. And technically what he was doing was inciting violence and inciting anarchy and inciting the support of a terrorist action against one of our allies and us.
Therein,
he spoke on behalf of groups that were that you know, take over campus. He was supporting groups that were committing crimes. He was a spokesman for it. Give me a break. This everybody trying to make him look innocent is ridiculous.
I agree. Wrap it up, Butters. What were you saying?
Yeah. Again, if you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law. But I think we need to be very careful saying that the free speech is given to you by the federal government. That's not what we believe in the United States.
Yeah,
we are
a nation in which we are a nation of laws that are written by men, obviously, but you're referring to it as, and it is true, we're often referred to as the natural laws. There are certain immutable characteristics of law nation or around the world that we try to see supported, one of which is the right to speech. All right. Great job, guys. Let me run the next question before we run out of time. We got about 5 minutes. So this is a total different track. All right. Let's talk politics for a minute, shall we? So right here in the Southeast, I mean, I don't think people are realizing what's about to happen, but we've got Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida, all of whom are facing governor's races in 2026 with open seats. There's no incumbent because all of them are term limited. And that's, you know, that's Bill Lee in Tennessee, Kay Ivey in Alabama, Brian Kemp over in Georgia, and Ron DeSantis down in Florida. All four of them have to leave their seats. So this is going to be the race of races. The Southeast is about to be the hotbed of governor races in the entire nation, and we're all contiguous borders. Is it possible? Here's my question for you. Is it possible that we will become a Southeastern conservative bloc? But having said that, let me just ask this. I don't care about the name. I don't want to hear I'm for this person or that person. Tell me what you're looking for in a gubernatorial candidate. Like if you had a resume, what would it look like? You first this time, Butters.
So leadership for like actual, like authentic, real leadership. I don't mean that as just a slogan to vote for. A willingness to stand up and say, to rethink, perhaps push back on the federal government and the whole idea that we need the federal government to do anything at the state level, and just come in and actually think about the state's rights, what we do well, what we should be doing well, just get back to some real pure conservative thoughts and values and not just acquiesce to, this is just the way we've always
been. Is there a style of leadership you're looking for?
It can be argued rambunctious
that Kay Ivey's a leader. Okay, there you go. Say it. Somewhat rambunctious, you said.
Somewhat rambunctious and willing to break some eggs. I'd love to see the trend that we're seeing at the federal level continue down to state levels and get us rethinking some of the ways we do business.
So meaning like the willingness that the Trump administration has to get out there and do things that haven't been done and try to rattle some cages and, like you said, break some eggs. That's what you're looking for in Alabama or wherever.
Yeah, I'd really love to see somebody go to question everything. Go back and, well, why do we do it this way? Why do we have this board? Why do we do this? I think it's
and maybe
right actually, in line with what's happening at the federal level.
Maybe actually hold your own press conference and lead the charge on it.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
All right, Lee, are you looking? I'm sorry, what?
I'd just say one last thing. I'd really love for a governor that could perhaps lead an Auburn football team to win the Iron Bowl.
Okay. So, Lee, what are you looking for in a governor as we face the four states right here in the Southeast, all facing empty seats? What do you want in a governor? What are you looking for?
Well, I'd like to see an Alabama governor who is, first of all, has lived here quite some time, understands the Alabama people, understands what we value, understands the vast differences between the different parts of the states and how to bring it together. I'd also like someone who's willing to stand up and have more press conferences, state actual convictions, you know, like a Ron DeSantis. He may not always be right, but you always know where he stands in that sense. Whereas Kay obviously has been very quiet. Mm-hmm. I'd also like a governor who can help control special interests because our state is eat up with it. And maybe someone who's not beholden. So, you know, to those special interests. I just want someone, like you said, more willing to stand up, say the tough things, be a leader, a real leader, and get a hold of the Senate and the House of Representatives and kind of set a tone. It's like they're running it versus the governor setting a tone. So that's really what I would like to see. And I'd really want someone who has not a Johnny come lately, but someone who really has lived here, been here, knows the people of Alabama.
Okay.
On the flip side.
Yeah, what?
On the flip side, I don't want somebody that's been part of the same good old boy network that seems to drive so much of our state. I think that's one of the big problems that we've got. So got away the Johnny come lately to the one that's just stuck in old ways.
All right, so let me.
We can have a balance, maybe.
I need no more than about 15 or 20 seconds from each of you. Do you feel like it's possible that the four states I cited there in the Southeast could form a conservative block of governors that described the way you just did? Could that happen? First, real quick. You think yes?
Yes, I think we could, especially if we continue the trend at the federal level.
All right, Lee, what do you think? Can we do it?
Yes, but I'm concerned about Georgia.
Okay. Yeah. Georgia being more purple than the other three. All right. That's good. That's round one with Butters and Lee. Taking a break. We'll come right back. Flip the script. They ask me questions, and I just wait with bated breath to hope I can answer them. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, making common sense like a superpower, using that bulletproof influence. All right, let me go back to the phones. We got Butters and Lee here. So, ladies first, question for me. Lee, what you got?
So, the age of consent law that they're working on in the House.
Yeah.
In the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to realize that it's hung up due to people wanting less than 18. So it's 14 right now. We are tied with another state, maybe it's Alaska, for the youngest in the nation at 14 for being able to make major medical decisions on your own, if you can imagine that. I just want everyone in the public to understand that you're really dumb 14-year-old can make their own decisions. So what I ask of you is, why is it controversial for it want to be up to age 18, considering most everything else is age 18 in this state?
Because we have some idiots in elected office. So this is one of those things that flew under the radar. No one knew it was there until somewhere around COVID, and then the transgender ideology that began to infuse itself more and more into the public domain. And suddenly you find out that, wait a minute, you've got schools that are trying to do things without the kid's parents even knowing. They're trying to give them vaccines and parents don't want it. Or they're trying to transition the child without mom and dad being aware so they can't get in the way of it. And you think, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And then you find out that, well, we're going to allow that because our state law says. And we find out then that I don't know how long it's been in Alabama law. No one ever saw this I've never even heard of this until like way after I left office. And I was down there for 8 years. 14 years old in Alabama. What in God's name can a 14-year-old possibly make a decision on in life besides their own medical attention, apparently? And that makes no sense whatsoever. So why is it happening right now? Because we have knuckleheads. And by the way, there's a lot of them that want to change it. And we have some that are fighting. And why they're fighting over it, I don't know. You can't join the military until you're 18. You can't drink until you're 21. You can't even, you know, drive until you're 16. If you're emancipated from your parents, that's a legal thing that has to happen first. But other than that, most things, you're not even of the age of majority until you're 19 years old. You can't write a contract. So I got news. If they want the dad and mom to pay the bill or the insurance to cover it, they better let the parents get involved and raise that age limit up a little bit, because otherwise it's a problem. There's my thoughts on that. And I got to go to Butters, unless you got a real quick closing comment.
No, I think you've put it well. Okay. I agree. We have to stand up as parents.
Thank you, sister. Yeah, that needs to get changed. All right, Butters, what question you got for me, bud?
Well, a lot to unpack, but you only got a quick second.
Yeah.
So what happens? We're dividing and dividing and dividing, it seems. We've got people burning Teslas and doing all this stuff. I'm seeing, you know, we've got the president standing up and basically saying, no matter what I say, they're not going to stand up and clap.
Yeah.
I saw a sitting congressman that basically is supporting a boycott against an American factory, you know, or American manufacturer against Tesla. Like, are we on the road to, hey, every business needs to have, you know, a donkey and an elephant emblem out on their front door, and we all pick sides, and you know, what does this mean?
No, I don't think so.
If we just kind of quit, and boycott each other.
I don't think so. I think these boycotts, first of all, these are activist moments, and these are also minorities. So I do not think the vast majority of America is like, let's go burn a Tesla. I don't think that's happening. I don't even think the vast majority of Democrats would ever agree with that. In fact, what I think you have is the fringe element on the left, the Antifa style of leftist progressivism, are the ones that are willing to do those kind of things. Now, are there people mad at Musk? That's different than burning Teslas. And so I don't think so. I don't think we're there. In fact, I mean, they did the same things. Cancel culture. We have a polarized society in many ways, but this is not new. And if you go back and look, you'll find that our nation has been more polarized in the past, aka the Civil War, over issues like, you know, sovereignty of states' rights and slavery. So I don't think we're anywhere near that. I think that we have some fractured politics, but I don't think we have a fractured nation. And I think the vast majority of the public is like, buy a Tesla if you want one. Doge is doing good things. So I think we're going to wind up seeing it blow by here pretty soon. But we get these things. These flares are happening all the time. And I got 30 seconds, bud.
So how healthy is it that, you know, if you've got a president that's like, I nothing I can do will please him. Is he giving up on even trying?
No, I think he was making a statement of fact. I don't think that. I think what he was doing, I think he stole their air. He robbed them of their moment by sucking the air out of the room, by pointing out there's nothing I can do tonight that would make you happy. And he was right. They wouldn't even cheer for a 13-year-old cancer survivor. So in this particular case, no, I don't think he was saying he's given up. I think what he was saying was, I have a job to do. I have a mandate from the people. And there's nothing I can do to make y'all happy. So I'm going to do what I'm here to do. And by doing that, though, the Democrats, suddenly their protest seemed hollow. And I think that was very key. And it was a very positive moment, I think, in his speech. All right. That's it, I guess. That was a fast half hour. All right, that's Butters and Lee. Love you both. Thank you so much. We're taking a break. We'll come right back. Going to jump into who dat for the governor. We'll talk about it in detail. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.